anyone signed up to testify. If there's anybody interested in testifying that did not testify earlier today, you're welcome to come forward. Okay, seeing none then. So at this time then, I'll look to Mr. Rust. Should we close the public hearing now and then ask for staff, or should we go ahead and ask for staff on the, while the public hearing's open? We had questions, and if you had the ability to answer those questions from earlier, is that how you want to handle this?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, sure. So we'll keep the public hearing open for now while you answer the questions that were asked earlier, and also questions that I think the board also asked you as well.
Sure.
Okay, very good.
So for the record, again, Mark Rust with Lane County. Let me start with one of the questions, I think, from yourself, Chair Lykin, on the Boundary Commission. And I presented a response to that earlier that I think may not have been entirely accurate. I think your question was somewhere along the lines of, is the, when the Boundary Commission was dissolved, who then now has the final say on annexation? So we did quite a bit of checking with our legal staff back in Eugene, just over the phone and via email during the break. And what we received back, and with talking to a number of other people, is that the 2009 date you presented earlier is correct. It was dissolved. Lane County was, I think, the last jurisdiction in the state to have a boundary commission. But what that did was a number of things. That, in terms of city limit annexations, it gave the authority back to the cities for approving their annexations. For special districts and other types of annexations, it gave the authority to the counties for those types of annexations. So in this matter, the annexations are decided by the city, and I think I said that the county was earlier, so make that clarification.
Well, I think that's how I asked the question as well, and wasn't sure. And looking back at it, I think once the new law was presented, I believe when I was mayor, we did one annexation, and to be honest with you, I knew that the city was involved, but I wasn't sure if it went into the county for a co-adoption process. So that, I think, as you mentioned that and doing some research as well, that does clarify that this annexation now belongs to the cities. Right. Very good. Thank you.
So one of the other points that was an item, I think, of discussion or question, Commissioner Handy, you brought up the idea of Mr. Stotter and myself conferring about what the differences are in the language that staff is proposing versus the language that Mr. Stotter has proposed. So we did talk for a period of time thereafter. We recessed. Excuse me. And so just to point out, there's two specific areas that are differing in terms of the language proposed and staff's recommendation. The first is in terms of the local board of health conducting a public hearing. And Mr. Stotter has proposed language in that would be included in this comprehensive plan policy language that you're considering tonight. And staff's recommendation, and as we met earlier as the board of health in Eugene this morning, staff is proposing that requirement for the public hearing on public health hazard abatement annexation proposals be a policy that the Board of Health has in the Lane manual versus in the comp plan. So that's the difference. It's not so much about if it should be a policy or not, it's where that policy should lie in terms of which document, the Lane manual versus the comprehensive plan. So that's one difference. The second difference is in regard to Mr. Stotter's proposed language for requiring the consent of a majority of owners of property adjacent to any right-of-way that is proposed to be annexed. So in addition to whatever mechanism or annexation type is considered, whether that's the double majority or triple majority or some other way of annexing that might be considered if it considers annexing a right-of-way as kind of the, what we've talked about, a cherry stem type of configuration, that the property owners along that right-of-way would have to, the majority of them would have to consent. So that's his proposal. Staff's recommendation is that that language not be included. And I can go into more detail why we feel that is, but it primarily goes back to those existing comprehensive plan policies that are in place today that I've outlined in your cover memo for today's proceeding, and that staff's proposal is that any new policy that you're considering adopting should be considered in light of the existing policies that are in place today. So those are those two different points that he and I talked about. Other than that, I don't know that I had any specific questions written down that I was going to respond to, other than the two that I had addressed earlier. And I did have an opportunity to chat with Miss Danny Matthews after we recessed as well. She indicated to me at that point that she felt satisfied with the responses that I gave to those two questions. That was in regards to the island annexation provisions and the types of septic systems. So unless there's additional questions at this point, I don't have anything specifically to respond to. So.
Okay, I look to the board. Any questions for Mark from the board? Commissioner Stewart.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Mr. Russ, I'd like to talk just a little bit more about the right-of-ways, and hopefully you know this, or Mr. Laird, but so can the city, when we're talking about annexing a right-of-way, does the city have to have ownership? I assume they do, to annex a road into city limits.
Versus if it were a privately owned road?
Well, I'm sure that basically a public road,
right,
would have to probably be in the city's ownership, is that correct, to annex it? I mean, if you have a subdivision that created a public road but was yet owned by the, retained by an individual owner. So I'm kind of wondering, in this instance, you know, we have a lot of county roads in these unincorporated areas, mm-hmm, that are in the UGB, and it's been my experience that when the city wants to bring that in, they ask the county to revert the ownership to the city, and then the city moves forward with that. Is that so? Am I correct in my understanding that the city would have to have ownership to annex it before they could move forward with it?
I would say yes, that is correct, that they would have to own the road. Or, I mean, in a situation where it was a private road or owned by, say, a homeowners association or something like that, if that entity that owned the road consented as part of the proposal to annex, then that could be included in that circumstance as well.
Right, so if the county, where I'm going here is if the city or somebody didn't own a road and they wanted to take that road and move it over to a piece, you know, access a piece of property that wants to come in the city, they'd have to get permission from the owner of the road to annex it in, is that correct?
That's
so the
correct.
County would have to give permission. Currently, so there is a vote for somebody, but if it's a city road already and they don't have to, I would assume that they would be the only elector, hypothetically, in that process, and they would choose to elect to have it annexed in, is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any questions for Mark? Commissioner Bozovich.
I just want to real quick re-ask the question I asked while we were recess here. Can you real quick discuss the requirement to have by the state for a city to have a master plan, a comp plan, comprehensive land use plan, and the requirements relative to reviewing that plan and when the current plan that's been co-adopted by both entities was originally adopted, you know, just some of those time periods and all, where we are with that.
Sure. So every city in Oregon has is required by the state to have a comprehensive plan. It's essentially a 20-year land use plan to govern all the land inside their urban growth boundary, anticipating basically the build out of that urban growth boundary. I don't know the exact date, but so the city of Florence updated their comprehensive plan either in the late 90s or early 2000s. And now it's referred to as their 2020 plan, comprehensive plan. And then in 2008 or 2009, they amended that new comprehensive plan to reflect some of these policy changes for annexation. So at the very least, the city has to update that plan at least every 20 years. Typically in the past, it's been under a scenario where it's a periodic review cities are required to go through by the state. It'd be more on the cycle of like 7 to 10 years that they would update their comprehensive plan. But the state, I think, has eased up on that a little bit with cities just because of the burden of doing those updates. So I think that speaks to the majority of your question. Yeah. Is there another piece I missed?
But I want to be clear. The 2009 amendment that the city of Florence adopted, the county didn't co-adopt that exact language, so it's technically not in force right now.
So that's correct. So
we go back to which plan?
So the plan that was adopted, the 2020 plan, as originally adopted, either in late 90s or early 2000, that is co-adopted by the county and the city, has an annexation policy in it, the one essentially that's being operated under today, that allows any type of annexation tool available per state law to be used. Because the county has not co-adopted the same policy as proposed by the city of Florence in 2009, the original policy is still in place. So until those two policies match and are co-adopted and ultimately then has to go to the state and the state has to okay that, the existing original policy is still in place.
Thank you.
Mr. Stewart.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'll go ahead and ask a couple more questions I had. So presently right now, in some of the other jurisdictions in Lane County, we have permitting authority inside the UGB, but outside the city limits. Does that exist here in Florence, or have we a 190 agreement that allows the city of Florence to process the building permit applications and those things? Do you know?
So I do know, and the Lane County maintains both land use jurisdiction and building permit jurisdiction in the city of Florence UGB outside their city limits.
Okay.
So it is the county's jurisdiction.
So if somebody hypothetically had a septic system that was deemed to be failing and needed to be replaced, and it didn't trigger the state land use law that mandates that it be hooked up, Am I correct in that? Because it was talked about earlier today, it's a state law that mandates if it's within 300 feet, you have to connect. Is that correct?
If it's legally available, I think the term is that right? So, yeah, it could be one scenario that was talked about just by staff some time ago was that you could theoretically be within 300 feet but have a cliff between the pipe and the house kind of thing, and so that wouldn't be considered available necessarily. I mean, it has to be practically available to be able to connect to. But yes, the state law requires that if you're within 300 feet that you would connect if it's available.
So another hypothetical there then. So if you had a sewer line going down along a street and you had a row of homes and then you had another row of homes that backed it, if they didn't have direct access through that row of homes, then does that say they legally couldn't attach then because they don't have right-of-way or access to the line?
Right. I think it would then be the county making the call saying that it's not available at that point because they don't have access to it. Correct.
Okay. All right, so therefore, if we had an issue, the county would be the one that they would come to and look to repairing their septic system.
Yeah, so correct. And I think Commissioner Bozovich brought up a pretty recent and good example of where the county made the call that we could allow the repair to happen in spite of that law based on the situation. So.
Okay. So that my thought process is correct in another area. All the city processes, and my understanding, they would, if somebody applied for an annex, there would be a public hearing on that matter. Is that correct? On an annex?
The city would hold a public hearing?
Yes.
Correct.
Then would they hold an additional public hearing when the boundary was to be proposed to be changed?
So, and that's what we were trying to communicated with our legal staff about during the recess is that, and I spoke about this earlier, and I think it was a misstatement in some regards, that the city is the one that has the final say on the annexation. So there's a hearing the city would hold on their annexation, and then they would approve the annexation or not, and then that would be the final decision on that. There's not a subsequent hearing by the Board of County Commissioners on changing a map or anything like that.
Okay. And one final question. Is that appealable to a higher level like the state or the court system?
I believe it would appeal to LUBA, yes.
Okay. Thanks.
That's the State Land Use Board of Appeals, correct.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Mark before we begin deliberation? Okay. Seeing none, then I will close the public hearing, and then we can move into the deliberation process as we move forward. And obviously, we have different options we can look at. We can either approve, we can revise, or do not approve. Those are three of the options that that we can have a look at as we move forward. So, at this time, I'll just open the floor to the board as we begin the deliberating process. Commissioner Handy.
Thank you. I appreciated Commissioner Stewart's line of questions here, and the reason why the Boundary Commission was dissolved was the abuse of power that the City of Eugene staff was taking with annexations and with a governor-appointed Boundary Commission that wasn't accountable to the people. What happened was so-called voluntary annexations in River Road and Santa Clara, where folks wanted to redevelop or have a zone change. They could voluntarily annex to do what they did. What happened, though, when these folks went to the city to submit their voluntary annexation proposal, the city staff started suggesting that they also wanted to attach to that property owner's voluntary annexation submittal a whole segment of county street to also be annexed to the city. This went on for quite a while. The citizenry got extremely upset. Folks who had no idea that adjoining connection to the street was now being annexed into the city got so upset that that's what led the Lane County legislative contingent to seek to dissolve the Boundary Commission, and that took place. And one of the concerns I have with Commissioner Stewart's very good questions and the questions around who has jurisdiction of the road, I just have a little bit of heartburn with some of the answers I'm hearing, in that basically I heard, in all due respect to Mr. Rust, I know he's trying to juggle a lot of things here, but as an answer, that's my understanding. Just doesn't give me the certainty that I need here around really understanding the answers to some of these questions. So I keep coming back to the need for us to codify our commitments and to get these into the comp plan And whether it be the, I have two questions for our staff. One around the question of the Board of Health public hearings being in the Lane manual, and there is a suggestion that we also put some reference in the comp plan. And my summary of what I've heard is, well, we don't need to do that. That's in the Lane manual. We also know the Lane manual can be changed. So I think there is some benefit to having some reference in the comp plan to the Board of Health public hearings as a guiding light in case the Lane manual or a future Board of Commissioners loses their way and changes that, so that there's something in that comp plan to point towards that. So I'd be in favor of that. Secondly, when it comes to, again, codifying our commitments around the consent of a majority of property owners along the adjacent to the right-of-way. Back to my question earlier today, and I'm kind of looking at Mr. Stoddard and Mr. Russ for some head nods here. When during the public testimony, we had reference to a last paragraph and that language in there. And is this the language we're referring to? Any annexation proposed by the City of Florence shall require the consent of a majority of property owners of the area proposed to be annexed, and shall also require the consent of a majority of owners of property adjacent to any right-of-way that is proposed to be annexed. That's the language that we're referring to. Okay, I thought so. Thank you. So my question for Mr. Rust is that if the board agrees that they want to include this language specifically in the comp plan, where it's mentioned here in this draft I have that it would be in policy one. Is that, would that be the proper place for it? And would a motion to that effect with that language and referring to including that in policy one, is that where we would house this if the board agreed to do that?
So to that, the most recent question you just asked, where would the policy go? The ordinance that's before you today, ordinance number PA-1289 that you'll be making a decision on, recommends that this new policy get adopted into Chapter 14 of the Lane County Comprehensive Plan, and that it is policy one. And so essentially, that last paragraph you spoke about or asked about would be that would all be part of policy one under that chapter 14. So either, you know, whatever the board's decision is today in regard to what the policy language is, all that policy language would be the new. There is an existing policy one today. Mm-hmm. And we're proposing to replace it with some new language. And so whatever you determine or approve as that new language, that's where it would be included. Mm-hmm. Does that answer that part of your question?
Mostly. And a follow-up then, so as far as what's recommended today, this could be added, and then that can be copacetic. There wouldn't conflict with staff recommendation. I know staff's not recommending this per se, but if the board decided to add it, that would be harmonious.
So correct. So that the sentence you read, which in Mr. Stoddard's proposed format is kind of the third paragraph, mm-hmm. could be at in Mr. Stoddard's language, essentially the first and second paragraph are almost identical other than the last portion of the sentence in paragraph one. So to answer your question though, that third piece could theoretically be added if that's the board's decision.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. You did, and your first question, I didn't know that is exactly a question, but you asked, you know.
Well, in summary, you know, there's a lot of things in a comp plan that don't have the weight of law, but give a guiding vision or goals. So if we want to have just a piece in there to point to that the Board of Health and the commissioners wanted to have a Board of Health public hearing and have that be harmonious with what the Board of Health did today, and to have that pointed out in this plan, even though the place that really holds the power is in Lane Manual. But for those reasons I mentioned, that a future board changes Lane Manual, they'd have to change the comp plan too. So if we have that in both places, where would that reside in the comp plan as a guiding light, if not necessarily point of law?
Yeah, and so everything you would want to include would be also in that same policy one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
On that question, though, Florence, it would have to go, if we're talking about a comp plan, this would have to go back to Florence to adopt this language. And let's say they said absolutely not, we're not interested, and they do not decide to adopt that. Then we're back at a standstill, and it just goes back to the current comprehensive plan that you have right now. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. So part of the reason we're even here, and I know Ms. Commissioner Bosovich has expressed this previously, is that the city of Florence is actually held off voluntarily from forwarding this component of their revised comp plan to the state DLCD to allow us to try and work it out. And so if the city and the county don't again adopt a similar policy, ultimately it will have to go to the state. It won't be a matching policy. The likely outcome is that they'll remand it back to the city and the county, and it'll have to be figured out. So your comment is correct, that they have to be the same policy. Otherwise, it won't get acknowledged, and we'll be back to square one of trying to figure it out again.
And over the years, I must tell you, I've had a lot of experience with DLCD. Sometimes they drive me nuts. But on comprehensive plans, if you follow the letter to the law, they are more inclined to adopt the city's comprehensive plan and remand it back. So in a sense, just so folks will understand, you would be basically, if you feel like you're being stuck with this plan, that's probably what would happen. And you can go through the appeals process and so on and so forth. But over the years, my experience tells me that, especially from the city standpoint, if your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, and it goes before the state DLCD, they're likely to side with the city. And I just think that's important for folks to understand that once you start digging into the comprehensive plans, wanting to do the certain changes, it's going to be a challenging piece. And that's just been my experience over the years. I'm not saying that cities are 100% correct, because they're not, but it would clearly lean toward the city over the county, because the county is really, in a sense, being a co-adopter of the plan. We're, in a sense, the final judge, but if it's meeting the letter of the law, that's how DLCD is really going to look at this. And I'm just basically throwing out there my experiences over the years, and I'm not saying I'm 100% right, because that's not me. But that has been my experience.
And just to be clear as well, DLCD, the coastal rep for the state of Oregon, has submitted a letter into the record for this matter indicating that they're supportive of this proposed language, but if it were up to them, and I forget their exact wording, but they would prefer there not to be the limitation on removing island annexation. They were very clear about that their preference would be to have all available annexation methods be available to the city per state statute. So, and again, I know this has been said, but Florence has voluntarily given up the opportunity to do island annexations. The state themselves aren't necessarily even comfortable with that. But anyway, they have submitted a letter into the record stating that.
And for the record, the city of Springfield does do island annexations, been involved in many of them over the years, and it's fairly common for other cities too. I think Florence is actually doing a significant favor, to be honest with you, and so I'm glad you clarified that letter. Any other comments for Commissioner Bosovich?
Thank you. I want to start out first talking a little bit about my experience with annexation, all that. Like Rob, I own property in the River Road neighborhood that was unincorporated and within the City of Eugene's UGB. And my first forays into local politics here in Oregon were to serve on the River Road Santa Clara Urban Services Committee because I was concerned about the patchwork annexations that were going on and the problems it was causing out there. And in fact, I became a founding member of the River Road Santa Clara Volunteer Library specifically to kind of prove to the city that the residents out there could have their own library card without having to annex. You know, that was, you know, my background. I am not pro-annexation in any way, and particularly any forced annexation. So, you know, that's, you know, I want to make it clear that I'm in no way trying to help the city forcibly annex the people of the North Florence UGB. That said, you know, we are steered by state statute and laws around the state land use things. I was speaking to somebody during the break. The real issue here is the state statute. If you're really concerned about annexation, you need to be working with your state legislators. It's something I've tried to do in the past. I've tried to work on a better definition of what a double majority is. We've been successful in a couple things where street right-of-ways are harder to use for island annexation than they were before. You now have to be contiguous to be annexed. You can't go out and do a little piece of annexation that's non-contiguous anymore. We've gradually made some changes that we've all lobbied for, and I know that Rob's been involved in some of this, and I have. But that's the real crux, is that this is what state law allows. One of the things Florence is doing is saying, we're giving up part of that state law. We're giving up the island annexation, which is one of the ways they can force people to annex with absolutely no vote. And that's, to me, a big thing for them to do. And in fact, the state's not very happy about it, but willing to go along with it. The only other place they can forcibly make people annex under state law is under a health hazard abatement. But that has a lot of restrictions on it. It's first got to come to the County Board of Health for confirmation. It's got to go up to the Oregon Health Authority. It's not a simple process, and particularly is severely scrutinized after the problems of River Road and Santa Clara brought to light the abuse of that kind of annexation. The problem with trying to put the Board of Health hearing into the comp plan is it may not be the correct place to put it. It adds a lack of legal clarity, if I can put it that way, where you have something being adopted by the City of Florence that's putting a requirement that's optional on the Board of Health that they don't have authority over. So you're starting to get some mixed language in there. My preference is we put that into Lane code and the Lane manual, and it applies to everybody. It doesn't just protect the citizens of North Florence, it now protects the citizens of North Springfield's UGB, the rest of the citizens that haven't been annexed yet in River Road and Santa Clara, or even the citizens outside of Junction City or Cottage Grove or Coburg, because that requirement for a public hearing would be in the Lane manual and would apply to any health hazard abatement annexation and require that public hearing. That's the correct place for it to be, where it protects the most citizens and provides that protection equally to all citizens. You know, one of the things that I'm a big proponent of, equal protection under the law. So if you guys are going to get a public hearing for health hazard abatement, why shouldn't the people in North Springfield get one? So that's the correct place for that to be, not in a comp plan where it adds legal unclarity and allows the ability, it just gives the state one more reason to remand it back. The other issue is the issue of people adjacent to the right-of-way having a vote in the annexation. I am not sure that's supported by any statute in under the ORS governing annexations, where it allows those people to have a vote on that annexation. So the question is that another addition to the annexation policies that will give the state an opportunity to say, remand it back? While you're at it, take out that prohibition on island annexations. To me, we've got something here the ability to move forward with eliminating one of the most onerous ways people can be annexed without a single ability to vote against it. And the state's willing to let us do that at this point if we co-adopt language that matches the city of Florence tonight. If we choose to adopt language that goes beyond that, one, we don't know if the city of Florence will agree to it. Two, if they do agree to it, we've added complexity that may allow the state just to reject it outright. So I'd like to move forward tonight with adopting the language as staff recommends. So with that, I'd like to move approval of ordinance number PA 1289. Let me make sure I read it correctly. And let's see, maybe I got the wrong motion up here. Sorry about that. And I move to adopt the ordinance PA 1289 as proposed with the following annexation policy one language. The procedures of ORS 222.840 at sequence health hazard abatement shall be initiated if needed to remove dangers to public health. In the absence of a need of health hazard abatement annexation procedures, any annexation of county territory to the city of Florence shall utilize an annexation method allowable by the state law that requires a majority of consents and shall not utilize island annexation procedures set forth by ORS 222.750.
Do I have a second?
Mr. Chair, I'll second that. I want to be in the queue to speak, please.
All right. So, Commissioner Stewart.
Thank you. So I want to make it clear that, let's see, I've been in this process now for 3-4 years and heard a lot of concerns with citizens, and I want to make sure that you have been heard. You know, whether it comes to costs or we're retired or on fixed incomes, limited income, we're going to be, if this moves forward, we're going to be forced to sell and move. And I've heard you and believe that your concerns are addressed in this process. We went through the forced annexations. The city has agreed no forced annexations. Removed a tool, the island annexation piece. What I'm researched was the concerns of the cost. So what are the citizens going to have to pay if this is moved forward? Essentially, this doesn't approve an annexation. We still have an annexation process when somebody wants to be annexed, and that allows for public hearings. I'm not aware of any. I've researched with the city and asked a question. So if I'm along this road and they have to put in a sewer system to service the new annexed properties, the concern, are these people that live there presently going to have to pay part of that portion? No. It's my understanding that through SDCs and through the costs of the applicant that's applying, they're going to pay the costs. And the city can't force you to pay for that when you're not part of the city limits. You're not part of the city. So I researched, I took your concerns seriously about, okay, where are the added costs going to be? The only place I could find that was an added cost potentially is that if you're in the county and you have a failed septic system and you have access or within 300 feet and state law requires you to hook up. It's not required. It's not something that the county's requiring or the city's requiring. And because we have a land use system in place today that actually affords orderly development, that's looking to the future and protection of our forest and farmland, and has developed today. This is the process that we have today on the books. And so I want to make it clear that I felt I have heard you and listened to your concerns, and moved a second on this. Because I believe that the concerns are being met. And I'll just leave it at that.
Any other discussion? Commissioner Handy?
Well, thank you. I appreciated Commissioner Bozovich's comments about the Board of Health issue and putting that in the comp plan or not, and I'm persuaded by that argument to not push on the Board of Health reference. That said, I had a late lunch today, and I was down at a local eatery, and they had a herring special, and I said, no thanks. My sense is I'll probably see a few red herrings later today back at the public hearing, and they are being trotted out. And I think it's more important than ever to really codify our commitments and get some language in here that deals with our aspirations rather than dealing with the fears of what the city might do if we do anything other than change what's already here. So in that spirit, I'm going to amend the motion that's on the table to include in Chapter 14, Policy 1, the additional language of any annexation proposed by the City of Florence shall require the consent of a majority of property owners of the area proposed to be annexed, and shall also require the consent of a majority of owners of property adjacent to any right-of-way that is proposed to be annexed.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion on the amendment? Okay, we'll call for the vote on the amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Nay. Fails 2-3. So we're back to the main motion, and I would open it up for further discussion on the main motion. One thing that I would like to add on the main motion is this, folks. As I stated before, I had the opportunity to serve Springfield for 12 years and 10 years as its mayor. Been involved in dozens of annexations, and at the time they were annexation agreements. So the city council would actually put together an annexation agreement, and really the vote was more or less a signal of a referendum, but it would move forward to the boundary commission who would have the final say. I will say this as well, that over the years when we talked about annexations in the city of Springfield, there was a gentleman who I have the utmost respect for. He and I have become very good friends over the years. His name is Jerry Ritter. How many folks know Jerry Ritter? Jerry Ritter is a person who has been involved in dealing with annexation issues for a long time. And I will assure you folks that the city of Springfield has more firepower with attorneys and planners than the city of Florence does, and Jerry Ritter can bring us to our knees. One person, because he understands annexations that well and is willing to put himself out, and all of us, myself included. You should have saw what he used to do to the late Stu Burge. I mean, Jerry is 5 foot something, Stu was 6 foot eight, and he would knock him flat if he was involved in any sort of forced annexations or anything else. The point I'm getting to is this. You have one person can make a huge difference on these annexation issues, enormous. And this is why the city of Springfield would never get involved in forced annexations. We'd follow the letter to the law. And there were times that when an annexation issue came up, I'd even forward it to Jerry and say, hey, take a look at this. Are you okay with this? Because I had that much respect for him. And I see someone like Leah out here. Leah's obviously has a lot of passion about this. Many of you do. And the way the law is written and the way SB 100 is, I mean, Oregon has a compact goals as far as SB 100 is concerned and as far as development's concerned. Anything within your urban growth boundary is actually set aside to eventually be developed within the city. So if you live in the UGB, you have to expect someday that will become part of the city. That's why they're established that way. But when you get into annexation issues, which sometimes can be sticky, I'm telling you right now, you have a voice here, and you go before the city. You can go before the state, you can appeal it, and if it doesn't meet the criteria set forth, it will be remanded back, and the city can never move forward on an annexation or shouldn't be able to. So that's, I'm telling you now that was very helpful to me over the years. And like I said, that was just one person. And Jerry taught me a lot. And taught me that, you know what, you just can't force your way and bull your way through these things, because I'm that one person that's going to get in your way. And it sometimes he reminded me of the guy who was you know, the person involved in, right in front of the tank there in Tiananmen Square. He was that one person that could get involved in the tank of Springfield and stop us from doing any sort of forced annexation issues. And that's what I would definitely say to all of you, is this is part of a plan. This is part of a plan, Florence's goal, or comprehensive plan. And as Mark Russ stated, that cities have to, in a sense, have to go through a process and doing a buildable study for every 20 years and come forth to for their comprehensive plans. And it's up to the county to be involved in co-adopting. But eventually, it's got to be, the state has to sign off on it. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. So I don't know the history between the citizens of Florence. I don't know that history. I barely know the history even of River Road. I used to say River Road, that was the exit I would take to go out to the golf course in Eugene. So I'm speaking from my experience in Springfield. And I will tell you right now, that one person can clearly keep a city in order. And I would just advise all of you that if you feel like something is not right, you have the ability to appeal this at any time. Commissioner Sorensen, Commissioner Bozovich.
I haven't said much today because I thought this is the way this would end today, and I didn't want to prolong things. I think that, you know, Commissioner Lycan is right. Sometimes one person could make a difference, and today any one of the three commissioners that are going to vote yes, any one of them could make a difference.
Mr. Bozovich.
Thank you. There's a difference between making a difference and doing something that's going to just prolong a process and have it remanded back by the state, and also leaving the citizens here in North Florence at the mercy of the old comp plan. You know, that's the current law right now as far as annexation goes, and those are the policies we're under as far as annexation goes. You have no protection there. What I will promise, and I'm going to have to turn to Commissioner Sorensen as the only attorney on the board, can we in Lane Manual require that a change to that section of Lane Manual require a public hearing prior to being amended?
Well, the reason I would probably not answer that question is because I'm the lawyer for other people, not the lawyer for Lane County. So we have to ask our lawyers who aren't here. Yeah. We'd have to ask them. I suppose for another perspective, we could ask Mr. Stoddard, but he might have a different perspective. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to promise to make every effort that, you know, to protect that section of Lane Manual once we amend it to require a public hearing by the Board of Public Health for health hazard abatement, to make that change also include requirement that any change to that section require a public hearing. So that if, you know, the concern that if the board changes in a couple years, there won't be the will to hold those public hearings. I can tell you, as long as I'm on the board, I will fight tooth and nail to keep that in the Lane Manual. But that is the correct place for that. I also feel that adding that amendment that would have required a vote of people adjacent to but not included as part of the annexation would just be bait to have the whole thing thrown out by the state and remanded back to us. And thus continuing the fact that you're still under the old comp plan, which allows island annexations. We need to move this process forward and get at least that protection in for the people of North Florence. We need to move forward with adding that requirement for a public hearing under the Lane Manual where it should be. And we should try and protect that as best we can, possibly with a requirement for a public hearing, any amendment to that language. So I will do my best to move the rest of that forward. In fact, I think the Board of Health recommended that the board take that up at the next possible meeting that's available as far as amending the Lane Manual goes. And I'm going to vote in the affirmative for the motion tonight, knowing that it's adding protection to the citizens of North Florence, not taking it away.
Okay, is there further discussion? Okay, seeing none, we'll call for the vote. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Carries 3-2. Again, we want to thank you for being a great host for us, and at this time, the Board of Commissioners is adjourned, and we'll meet up tomorrow.
Mr. Chair?
Oh, excuse me.
Technicalities, this was an ordinance.
Oh, it was? My bad. Okay, yes, it was. Thank you very much. So we'll officially call for the roll call. So, Ms. Richardson?
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner Stewart?
Aye.
Commissioner Handy?
Nay.
Commissioner Sorensen?
Nay.
Commissioner Bosevich?
Aye.
Commissioner Lycan?
Aye. Okay, thanks for that catch, Mr. Stewart. So it passes 3-2, and we're adjourned, and the Board of Commissioners will meet tomorrow at 9 a.m. at we are at Harris Hall. Thank you.